Okay. Bonjour,
Dara.
Bonsoir. What are the other things they say? Like, au revoir.
What are the only other two things that French people say?
I don't know. Just her voice. I cannot do a good one, but I've been walking around my apartment this morning to my cats going like, oh, I'm Julia Child. Oh.
It's all about, I can't even do it.
It's the courage of your convictions. The courage of your convictions.
That's a pretty good one. That was pretty solid.
And I like looked up after this because like I maybe have, you know, seen some Julia Child clips in passing, but I've never like watched her, you know, TV specials or anything. And I'm like, did she fucking talk like that? Like, is Meryl Streep mm-hmm. being for real right now? And while I did like her performance, like I thought she did a great job, there were times when I'm like, she cannot be fucking for real right now. Like,
oh, absolutely.
But she did kind of talk like that. She obviously was playing it up because it was a movie. I've heard people say that there's a pretty new HBO series about Julia Child. I think it's just called Julia on HBO, and that performance is like a little more understated. Like, if you're going to compare the two, like, while both are very good, I think you can afford to be a little more subtle with a TV show, you know, because you've got like more time to stretch it out with this. Yeah. She's like really packing a punch, but.
Yeah. That's just how people talked pre-1960s.
Oh my god, I guess. But everyone, Stanley Tucci is just like, let's fuck. And Meryl Streep is like, oh!
You're scared to moan in your girl's ear, but I'm in but I'm up in there like, oh!
Both bohignon! But if you couldn't tell, we're covering Julie and Julia 2009 this week to continue Menu March, and this is our podcast, and it's called The Swamp, and it's an acronym.
Stands for some whack-ass movie podcasting.
I was just gonna try to say all that in, like, some whack-ass movie pod. No. I'm cutting myself off right now. No more Meryl Streep as...
Yeah, sure. We'll see how well that goes in the next hour.
We're moving on. but I had never seen this movie before. Had you?
Yes. I saw it, like, probably around the time it came out and everything like that, once it had made its way onto, like, you know, ABC Family or whatever the fuck. Whatever channels existed. But I watched this around this time last year or so, and drank a whole bottle of wine, red wine, specifically, and I cried the entire time.
Oh my god. It is like, a really sweet movie.
It's very sweet. It's very sweet. It's very heartwarming. And that's just, I think, the Julia Child effect. You know what I mean? So...
When I say it's sweet, I mean the Julia Child parts are sweet. The Julia parts, I could cut it.
Yeah, the Julie. Yeah. I just want this to be a Julia Child biopic.
Right.
Biopic? How do you say it?
Biopic? I say biopic, but...
I've heard it so many different ways. But anyways, yeah, I could care less about Julie Powell, honestly.
And you said she just died, like...
Yeah.
You said she just died, like, 2 months ago.
Something like that, yeah. She died within the last, like, 3 months, I think.
Oh my god, well...
R.I.P. legend.
Yeah, in memory of a bitch who really committed. She really committed to the bit. She was like, no, like, 500-something recipes in 365 days is fucking insane. When you think about that...
I mean, how many recipes is that? Because that's a couple... Like, a handful of days of multiples. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. And I guess maybe... But
was it... How many was it?
Oh, I don't know. 500-something. 560... Whatever. I feel like it's 47
divided by... You have to, like, make a recipe in half a day, at the very least. Yeah.
And doubling up, and she's worked through the book chronologically, because at one point she was like, oh, we're doing, like, Jell-O molds this week. She didn't even jump around. So, like, imagine, like, you're in the, you know, the egg section, and you just have to fucking cook an egg, like, 20 different ways. Like,
not in this economy.
Yeah, literally when they were poaching the egg scene, I was, like, cringing, because I'm like, bro, that carton of eggs is $9. Stop wasting.
Also, simply, poaching an egg is not that hard. I poached an egg for the first time just fine. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult.
I've never done it, like, when you crack the egg, when you, like, raw dog it, when you just, like, crack the egg straight up into the water. I've never done it that way, but I've done it with, like, a little cup. You know, yeah. Like a little, and like a silicone cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not terrible. Easily done.
I mean, yeah, I guess I had modern tools to assist me. You can also do it with saran wrap, I think. Yeah, I guess saran wrap did exist. But if you're gonna do it the for real way, I've never, like, I don't know.
It's not that hard.
Slay.
Yeah. But anyway, so we want to give a bit of a recap of what this movie's about.
Sure. Do you want to do you do Julie and I'll do Julia?
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So it's basically, like, intertwined stories of this woman, Julie, who, it's 2002, like, ripe post-9/11. She's living in, like, where is she, like, Brooklyn or some
Brooklyn.
Shit? She's really pissed
Queens.
About it.
Queens. I think they go from what, like, Queens to Brooklyn or some. I don't know the difference. Know. But people who live in New York, I'm sure there's a big difference. I've only ever been to Yonkers, which is, like, a little more suburban, like, a little more residential, but, like, mm-hmm. still very much the city. And then, like, Manhattan, which is, like, what you think of in New York City. Yeah. I don't know about these, like, boroughs and...
No.
And what
clue.
The...
Mm-mm. They talk about that other lady coming from Staten Island. I don't know anything about it.
I just know that's where the rich people live, I think. Because those are, like, if you have a house, you have a house on Staten Island, but you have an apartment in the city if you're on the TV show Mad Men.
But anyways, Julie is working at this, like, what would you call it? It's like,
oh my god, it's post 9/11 insurance claims.
Yeah,
so it's like people who have insurance claims related to the fallout from 9/11, which I'm sure was a real thing, but it seems so fucking made up. It seems like in 2009 they're like, okay, the movie's set in 2002, what's the saddest job that's also like soul-sucking, you know? Like it's sad, but it's not gratifying. It's like you work, you're like insurance at a call center for insurance, but let's tie it back to the big, you know.
So she's doing that. Her life is feeling just very drab, pointless. She feels like she never finishes any of the projects that she starts. She started writing a novel, got halfway through it. Like, basically, that's her big issue. And she has this great love for cooking. Her husband is always gassing up her bruschetta. And she decides that she's going to cook all of Julia Child's recipes from the Art of French Cooking?
Mastering the Art of French Cooking, I
mastering
think.
I don't know, something like that. But Julia Child's, like, big cookbook, right? She's going to do all, like, 547 recipes in 365 days, and she's going to blog about it. And that's, like, the backbone of the movie.
Why didn't she just pick the number of days that there were recipes, you know? Say you're going to do a recipe a day, because that, at least, you stretch it out a little bit. Like you just did the math that it was, like, 1.5 recipes per day. That's too much. That's too much. And she has a job. Bitch.
What does her husband do? Because they must be going through ingredients like it's fucking nothing.
Right. He's an editor. They just keep saying he's an editor. And he seems to be, like, working at home a lot. But they also say that their new apartment's closer to his office. So he must be fucking raking in the dough. Because they're complaining as if they live in the slums. Their apartment is nice. They, like, they live in New York City, which is fucking not cheap, you know? And you have the resources to, not only is their apartment, like what they say, 900 square feet, like, in New York City.
It's adequate.
Well, you have to be making, like, you know, a relatively good amount of money, I think, to afford that. And also, the cost of these fucking ingredients. I was, like, trying to do a tally in my head, and then I just stopped of, like, what it would cost you, like, pound for pound, what it would cost you to do this, like, cook your way through any cookbook, let alone this one that's 700 pages. Groceries are not cheap, especially, I think, in New York City. I don't know if this is right, but, like, you have to, like, get your shit from, like, specialty places. Like, you can't just go to, like, Stop and Shop. They don't have, like, huge super... I mean, they probably do, but,
you have to go to the deli.
But she seems to be going to these, like, specialty, like, you know, shops to get the right, you know, cheeses, meats, whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah. Whole Foods who? Like...
There's this one scene where she, like, decides to go to the bodega to get, like, a handful of ingredients to cook something after she was feeling down.
Ugh.
And the amount of green vegetables on this giant wall, I was like, that's bullshit.
No.
That's absolutely no bullshit.
No shot. No shot. Mm-hmm. In her, like, corner store in the Bronx or whatever, no fucking shit. Mm-hmm. Do they just have... Good try. It, like, the roots were still attached. It was, like,
yep.
A thing of... It's, like, farmer's market level greenery, yeah. Like, just ripped straight...
Yeah, just your farm stand bodega.
No.
But anyway, so that's basically the backdrop of it. And then it's intercut with Julia Child's story, who is played by Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci.
Oh my god, the Tooch. Literally, when I knew, I like did not have a great, I don't want to say I had a bad attitude going into this, but like I did not expect to like this movie. Which I'll give it like a, you know, it was fine. It was fine. It was cute, but it's like, no, I didn't think it was great. But as soon as I saw the Tooch, I was like, oh, maybe this could turn around really fast for me. Because mm-hmm. I also, for some reason, thought this was going to be a rom-com. Like, that she was going to, like, fall in love. Like, wow. Like, I don't know. I think I'm maybe confusing it with, like, Eat, Pray, Love.
Probably.
Though they seem, like, very similar to me in my mind. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're stored in the same compartment. But basically,
around the same time,
Meryl Streep is like giving a great biopic performance as Julia Child, and then it's just sort of intercut with this like Lifetime movie about this. It's like to me, I can appreciate what they were going for of like trying to do something different or like intertwine the two stories. And obviously, it's based off of this woman's book, so it's like you know, whatever. But I'm just like the tonal shift. I was like always just waiting for the Julia Child parts. I was like. Okay, like, okay, entirely. Julie, let's move it. I don't need to see you. In. I don't need to see you cry over cooking a chicken for the fifth time. Like let's keep it moving. But
like, it's the fact that like, you know, Meryl Streep, how she did like the Iron Lady and Margaret Thatcher can fucking rot. I hate that she did that. Like, I want her to give like that for Julia Child instead.
Yeah, right, like a series. Honestly, I don't really think we need, like, this is maybe my hot take, but I'm like, let's stop making biopics, or especially just about, like about like, people that we all were, like, forced to learn about at some point in our lives. Like, tell me a story that I've never heard of before, you know? Tell me about some shit I do not know about. Like, I do not need the Elvis movie this year. I was like, are you fucking for real? Like, nobody needs to learn the life of Elvis. That's just not something anybody needed.
Black people's music.
Yeah.
That's the old, like, let's tell a real story here.
Right, but just any biopic in general, like, there's all this hullabaloo about, like, the Fred Astaire biopic, dude. And there's gonna be two of them don't need that. I don't need to learn about Fred Astaire. Like, I don't need it.
It's just because, it's because Bohemian Rhapsody happened.
Ugh.
And everyone lost their fucking mind for Rami Malek.
I just don't. Ugh. I'm like,
and now it's just, dude, also Justice for Rocket Man, that's the only biopic that like I will hard stan.
Mostly I just love the costumes and Taron Egerton. And Elton John. He's my, like, Elton John is my celebrity that when he dies, it's, like, gonna not feel real to
You're
me.
You're going into mourning. Like, yeah, you know how, like, they do, like, for 9 days or so when the queen died?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's not that I, like, love Elton John. It's just, I feel like he's just, like, such an omnipresent being that when he dies, it's, like, he can't die. Like, he's, like, the queen. Like, he can't die. But, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
But basically Julia,
anyways,
tells
back to where we were.
Julia Child, she was, her husband worked for the government, the OSS, which I don't really know but it's like international affairs, basically. They had lived all over, and he basically like works at an embassy doing like international affairs, and it's the 50s. So we're getting a little bit of touch of like the Red Scare, you know, McCarthyism, just some light touches of that. But basically they're living in France and he's on this like 4-year mission stint, whatever, working in Paris. And she is like a housewife trying to find ways to fill her time, but she's taking like card playing classes and hat making classes, and she's just like not really vibing with it. And she's like, well, I really like to eat, so I want to learn how to cook. But the like housewife beginner class is like not jiving with her, so she enrolls in Le Cordon Bleu cooking school, which is like the French like culinary institute basically. And she, you know, she's like not great at first, but then, you know, sort of on the mend, works really hard, gets her shit together. Everyone kind of doubts her because she's like an American cooking in France, but her whole thing is that she wants to teach French cooking to other Americans. And then she links up with these other two women. Oh, their names, Simone something, and the
I don't think that's right.
Yeah, her name is like Simone something, and they called her Simca.
Oh, that's what it's Simca. Yeah.
Simca,
that's what I was thinking.
Simca, and then the one who they like boot out, whose name I forget. She basically finds them, and they're basically doing the same thing, writing this cookbook about French cooking in English for Americans, but it's like very dry and flat, and they kind of need Julia Child's zesty personality to like spice it up and make it more like readable and personable. So she takes on this project, basically then creating this cookbook that made her sort of iconic, and it's the process of, you know, the ups and downs of getting published and overcoming hurdles or whatever. And then at the end, obviously, she's like the Julia Child that we know, TV specials, cookbooks galore, brought French cooking to America, like the mother of, you know, cooking in America at that time. That's basically it, right? And it's mostly just her and Stanley Tucci being so horny for each other.
I love it. I love it.
And I guess that was true.
Middle-aged, like, horny.
I guess that was true. Like, that Nora Ephron, who wrote and directed this movie, like, she specifically based that off of, like, that they would, like, write letters to, like, their friends and stuff, and they'd be like, we fucking, like, we out here fucking every day. Like me, what's his name, Paul? Paul Child? He was like, yeah, like, she got that good, you know? Like, just very, like, open about, like, their middle-aged sex life. So that's, like, the horny level. It was a little, I'm like, oh my god, it's like, do I want them to adopt me, or do I want to be their third kind of, like, situation? Where I was like, oh, is this making me uncomfortable, or am I turned on? Like, I don't know.
Who's to say? But yeah, I don't know. This movie just, and it's, like I said, it's just Julia Child making me feel warm and like a hug.
Yeah, and especially the scenes with jump scare Jane Lynch, who was not a jump scare.
I love it. Oh my god.
This casting was impeccable, but I was a little disappointed that, like, you know, in the movie Seven, how, like,
yeah,
David Fincher 7, they do the opening credits, but they purposefully omit Kevin Spacey's name because they don't want you to know that he's the bad guy, basically, for it to be like this big reveal that, like, oh, it's Kevin Spacey. And then at the very end of the movie, it's like with Kevin Spacey. I wish they did that with Jane Lynch for this movie specifically, because I didn't want to know, like I wish I didn't see it coming, because I saw her in the opening credits and I was like, oh, I was like, when's she gonna pop up? And I knew, like, I'm like, that has to be who she is. But when she, her little blurb in the middle, I thought was so fucking good. She is an icon.
Dude, my tall girls, tall girlies, they must have put these bitches on stilts.
Yeah, Julia Child was 6'2", and Meryl Streep is 5'6". So they did a lot of, like, foreground positioning that she would just stand a lot closer to the camera than, like, Stanley Tucci. If you notice, like, a lot of scenes, it would be like her, like, you know, sitting closer or whatever to, like, make her look physically bigger. But also, like, the shoes also, they would crop, like, below the knees out of a lot of scenes to not show you that she was literally on, like, wood blocks.
How tall is Jane Lynch is my question. I feel like Jane Lynch is a tall
actually
guy.
Tall. Yeah, I feel like they probably didn't have to stilt her up as much.
She's 6 foot.
Yeah, love it.
Oh my god. Which, oh my god. Why do I want, like, her and Meryl, like, working together more?
Yeah, and I thought it was such a believable casting that they were sisters. Obviously, they, like, did some makeup and, like, you know, transformed them into,
and all that.
Like, I really believe that they were related. Like, I hate in movies when they'll do a casting and I'm like, no fucking shot did those two people come from even one of the same parents, you know? Like, like, no. But this one, I was like, yeah, I buy it. And they're just their energy was so good.
So good. I loved that. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I got whiplash from this movie. Just going from Julia to Julie. it's just like, you can't compete. You can't compete with Julia Child. You think you're going to be a likable character presence to me? Not a shot.
And Amy Adams is, like, good. Like, I have nothing against her.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just, this character was doing the most. And at the beginning, so I didn't realize that they were married.
It was the 2002 of it.
Yeah, right? But like, I didn't realize that they were married, so I wrote down, like, oh, why do I get the vibe that her boyfriend is gonna suck? Like, I thought that this whole, I thought I had this
lockdown. Oh, I loved him. No.
Right? I was like, I thought I had this lockdown that he was gonna, like, cheat on her or something, and she was gonna be depressed, and then she was gonna, like, reinvigorate her zest for life by cooking. But, like, this movie is, like, pro-heterosexual propaganda, because in what, like, statistically...
Not the propaganda.
It's about, like, two, like, really healthy marriages.
Yeah.
What?
Two super supportive husbands.
Right?
I rocked with her husband.
Never. That doesn't I mean, like... Not to be a man-hater, but, like, it's not like that. Like, I mean, it is for me, but, like, if you made a movie about me and, like, maybe, like, me and Ina Garten. Garten, the barefoot contessa.
The barefoot contessa.
But then it, like, it ends with her, like, blocking me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, basically.
But yeah, I was really surprised to see a movie about, like, two, like, supportive husbands, because usually it's always, like, the shitty husband and the wife has to, like, find a way to reconcile with, like, you know, all the time she's lost or whatever. Also, they never talked about having kids. I thought that, like, them having kids was going to come up at some point, and him being, like, you know, I thought that, like, maybe she's barren. I don't know. A whole thing. The only...
Well, I mean, it is with Julia. That's basically... There is that one really sad scene where... Julia Child kind of gets news that sister Jane Lynch
having kids. That's a geriatric pregnancy. Like, that's not okay. I mean, if you want to do, like, modern day healthcare, you know, you can have a safe pregnancy above the age of 50. But, like, how old are they supposed to be? Well, because Meryl Streep died. Julia Child died in 2004 when she was, like, in her
96.
So that puts her at what age, like, in the 50s? Was she supposed to be in her 30s? Because I was not buying.
I wasn't buying that either. She's at least 40-something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. That's one thing, like, I did really like that scene where Julia Child kind of breaks down to her husband. Because, like, I mean, obviously, like, you get the entire, like...
Yeah.
Context of it, like, immediately. Which I feel like a lot of movies, like... I don't want to say now, but, like, I think there's a fair amount of movies that kind of miss the ability to just, like, get that detail in without making it a whole plot line.
Yeah.
I feel like everything these days needs to be explained thoroughly, and it's exhausting. Like, I thought that it was a 1-minute scene, and, like, you get to know so much about her and her husband and their relationship through that. And that's it. They never touched on it again. And I thought it was one of the more... I mean, not thought, like, it was one of the more heartbreaking scenes in this movie.
Yeah. Not to compare this to, like, Marvel movies, but I feel like a lot of, like, but just, like, a lot of big blockbuster movies, the writers and directors don't put any faith in their audience's intelligence. Like, you have to write a movie
like
as
we're 2-year-olds.
Yeah, write a movie as if your audience are competent adults, and that is not the case. And that's why we get the, like, he's standing right behind me. Isn't he kind of dialogue, I think, a lot now, because it's like, yeah, it's like, it, because, you know, if you don't explain it enough, it's quote-unquote confusing and whatever, but that's like, just, I don't know, put faith that your audience is not fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And not that this movie is
have
any,
at least,
like,
four brain cells.
And not that this movie is, like, any, like, intellectual, cerebral, like, it's
no,
it's none of that, but yeah, I agree, just that one little scene of, like, and she says, like, oh, I'm so happy for her, but, like, you can tell in her voice that it's the other thing. Yeah. I thought, yeah, her performance in this was so great. I think while the highs were very high, she took, you know, the lows to balance it out pretty well. It was just so chaotic, though, like, in the scenes where they were having dinner parties and stuff, and everyone else is just talking like normal people, and Meryl Streep was over here being like, oh! I was like, it's a lot.
I mean, yeah, Meryl Streep did get an Oscar nomination for this.
Slay. Who beat her? Who won that year?
It's 2010. Ew, Ana de Armas is nominated for Blonde this year?
Yeah, it's controversial.
Did you see that?
Absolutely fucking not.
Oh, Sandra Bullock won for The Blind Side. Which
okay, yeah.
Yeah, which is, again, these two movies are in that same font.
Yeah, yeah. Same word, different fonts or whatever. Same font, different words.
It's the 2009.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I absolutely loved Julia and Paul's wardrobe. I wanted it. I wanted their entire wardrobe.
The hats.
The pants. Julia's pants. Paul's shirts and her little ties. I want all of it. Again, the whiplash that I got going back to 2002.
Oh my god.
Seeing the heinous shit they put poor Amy Adams in.
Her haircut, it didn't look bad on her. She was pulling it off, but it's so, like, the difference between, like, you put that haircut.
You know who she reminded me of? Lena Dunham in this.
No! Not Lena Dunham yet. It was a little bit girls.
And we're anti-Lena Dunham on this podcast.
Yeah, it was giving the girls a little bit, I would say. But the haircut, if you in 2023, you make a movie and you give that haircut to somebody, no shot they are not a lesbian. Like, I'm sorry, that, like, the little spiky mullet, that is the photo that every queer woman showed their hairdresser, like, fresh out of the pandemic. Like, they'd been cutting their own hair for a while, and they're like, let's go with, like, a little choppy mullet. Maybe the more subtle, you know, because there's some aggressive mullets out there, which I am a fan of. Love the revival of the mullet trend. Yeah. Couldn't be me, but this picture was like every queer woman in 2020 had this haircut.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I was gonna do another Julia Child impression to introduce Jen, but I promised that I was gonna hold back on that. I was gonna do another, like, bonjour, but I've been doing a little too much of that this episode already. So this is me awkwardly segueing, transitioning into our interim podcast segment. My lovely mother, Jen, is here. She's going to say two things. We're all going to say which one we like better. It's called chocolate or vanilla. Jen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm great.
Pretty solid.
Awesome. Awesome.
And you have been this month, you've last week established that all of the chocolate or vanillas are going to be, you picked a restaurant and you do all of the chocolate or vanilla choices from menu items.
Yes.
This is correct?
So that is correct.
What is the restaurant this week?
The restaurant is Alex Guarnaschelli's restaurant Butter in New York City.
Okay. Slay.
You know what you should do? Cheesecake Factory.
That shit goes crazy. Except, is it chicken tikka masala, like, that is actually good? Or is it chicken tikka masala from the Cheesecake Factory? Because those are two very different, you know what I mean? Like, Cheesecake Factory, why are you doing such a myriad of cuisines? Like, it's concerning. Mm-hmm. Alex Guarnaschelli is a Food Network TV chef who we watch a lot of Food Network in this household, and we definitely like her. And you and I have been to New York on a handful of occasions, and we've never been to her restaurant, but we have hid in the lobby while waiting out some rain.
Yes,
before.
This
so
is
that,
true.
So that was pretty exciting. But I think we've looked at the menu and it always seems like a little too out of our, like, tax bracket. Like, not just for payment, but also for, like, I don't want a single piece of asparagus for my meal. Like, that's just not really for me. You know, even if it's the best way you can prepare an asparagus.
Oh, yeah. I totally chose this as a very upscale restaurant.
Yeah. Okay. Which it goes with, you know, the food in this movie is, you know, fine French cuisine, so this will be somewhat fitting. Okay. So let's get into it.
All right, chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Vanilla.
Chocolate. All right, so for your drink, the butter martini, which is citron vodka, pomegranate liqueur, Cointreau, and a splash of pineapple, or this drink called a pleasant afternoon, which is cucumber-infused gin, dry vermouth, Galliano, and lemon.
Although I do love a cucumber moment, and I do like a gin moment as well, that is sounding like it's just gonna taste like liquor.
Yeah.
Whereas the first one has the splash of pineapple juice and the pomegranate liqueur, which is at least, like, I don't really fuck with cocktails that are, like, just liquor with no mixer of any sort. Mm-hmm. I don't really. So I'm gonna go with the first one, even though it says it's a martini, but I think a lot of people get, like, up in arms about, like, what you can and can't call a martini. Like, a martini is specifically like, you know, XYZ ingredients. Once you're adding juice in there, mm-hmm. honey, that's a mixer. Like, yeah. you're just calling it a martini.
Putting it in a martini glass.
You're serving it to me in a martini glass, but that's a little fruity mixed drink. But yeah, I'll pick the butter martini. Yeah. That sounds pretty good, actually.
I'm going to agree with Dara on that one. The butter martini sounds a lot more appealing to me.
Same. I'm going to go with the butter martini. And I also am a firm believer that if you order the thing that's named after the restaurant,
it's usually
pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're up to apps. So the burrata has graffiti eggplant, tomato, Calabrian chilies, and Thai basil. Or the gnocchi mac and cheese has melted petit basque and aged cheddar.
I will go for that gnocchi. That sounds fucking fire. As an appetizer, though, gnocchi are pretty, like, heavy as an app. I'm like an adult who doesn't like uncooked tomatoes, which is just like a hurdle I'm going to have to get over in my next 7-year taste bud cycle. Yeah,
I feel you. Like I'm the same
I don't
way.
Really, I don't, yeah, I mean, I like sauce. I like it if it's incorporated, but just like a straight tomato situation is not really for me.
I like.
So I'll go with the gnocchi.
Yeah. What was my first option? It was burrata.
Burrata.
Yeah.
Burrata. I think I'm
gonna go with the burrata. I do love a burrata. Yeah, that's like
some graffiti eggplant. That sounds like that's like my rap name. Like, hey, yo, what's up? It's graffiti eggplant.
Yeah, I do really. I agree with you, Dara. I'm not a big uncooked tomato person, but burrata is like my safe like appetizer usually when I go out.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the burrata too. Just a big ball of cheese. It's always so good.
Yeah, gnocchi is like.
Okay.
Too heavy for me.
Next appetizer is the salami board. Salami with an E, by the way. Marinated artichokes, olives, and cottage bread. Or the thick cut veal bacon with red wine mustard.
Slay, just a piece of bacon as my app. Yeah. I'll go with that. I don't really... The olives on the first one are really throwing me off. I'm not an olive girly.
I'm not a salami girly. Cold cuts don't do it for me at all. I find them... a little bit vulgar.
a little bit processed. It's really good. They're not good for you at all.
No, I something about it. Meh, it's not for me. But yeah, bacon I can rock with. I'll go with the veal bacon.
Perfect. Me too. I'll take the thick cut bacon. I don't know if the red wine mustard like comes on the side.
That sounds hot.
It's probably a glaze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one for your main course. The shrimp a la plancha with roasted fennel, cara cara oranges, and guajillo chili, or the blackened salmon with steamed spinach and grilled herb vinaigrette.
What is throwing me off here?
The fennel.
You don't like fennel. I don't fuck with fennel, but I especially don't fuck with salmon. So I'll go with the shrimp.
Yeah, I'll rock with the shrimp as well. I wish I could be a salmon girly, but again, I think that's in my next cycle of taste buds.
I'm going to go with salmon. We've been eating a lot of salmon yesterday. One of my coworkers was talking to someone and she said, oh, salmon is like the new steak.
Salmon is the new steak. I've only ever liked it when it's like on a bagel with a lot like lox. Mm. Yeah, it's salmon is the new steak as far as like what, like trendy, like food trends?
Yeah, she was just like people go out and are looking for a good salmon.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Maybe that's like, yeah, again, above my like tax bracket.
The next one is braised boneless beef short ribs with American polenta and aged balsamic. Mm. Or the Creekstone Farms filet of beef Wellington with hen of the woods mushrooms and a port wine reduction.
Shit, both of those sound fucking good. I've never had a beef Wellington, but the concept of any sort of like meat wrapped in pastry sounds fucking awesome. But that first one, the braised beef with the polenta and I have to go with that. The first one, the braised, was it short rib?
Well, I think I'm going to go with the short rib on this one as well. As much as I agree, I've never had a beef Wellington, and I would have to get it somewhere to have it kind of thing, because I'm not just making that on my own. But, you know, I'll get that another time. I'm going to go with the beef short rib.
Okay, I'll go with the beef Wellington. I agree, these both sound awesome. I think we should try to make beef Wellington. Let's try to do it. Can you make it with, like, one of those cans of pastry that you pop?
Pillsbury?
Yes.
I'm going to go with probably not.
I'm going to go with you probably shouldn't.
If you, I bet if you, without the influence of me, if you approach Henry on your own and ask him to, if you like almost challenge him, like
he'll figure it out.
He will make it for you.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, almost like bait him into it. Be like, I bet you couldn't, and then he'll do it, and it'll be really good.
If I said that to him, he would know you told me to say it.
So true.
So next one is for your sides: grilled broccolini with toasted sesame, or smashed potatoes with smoky blue cheese and bacon. Easy.
I like potatoes, but I don't fuck with blue cheese. But the broccolini, toasted sesame, I love a sesame flavor, sesame oil in like cooking when done right. It's like, so yeah, I'll go for her. Cause yeah, blue cheese kind of skeeves me.
I love blue cheese and I love potatoes and I love bacon. So that sounds perfect. A smashed potato, hot. Absolutely, I'm on that.
Darren makes really good smashed potatoes.
I just double the amount of butter that any person should reasonably consume.
Very Julia Child of you.
I make good cheesy potatoes.
Yeah. It is just like equal parts cheese to potato, and that's why it's so good.
Emphasis on the cheese. All right, next one is the smoked double cut Berkshire pork chop with pan roasted garnet yams, or the slow roasted Acre Farms chicken with lacinato kale and pickled torpedo shallots.
Ooh, a pickled shallot. I like the sound of that. Also, I think between a pork chop and a chicken, I'm going to typically go with the chicken. Yeah. So.
Well, I just feel like I have, and I think a lot of people do, pork chop trauma. I don't know.
From being a kid?
Yeah.
Overcooked?
From like your dad cooking it, and it's just not ever that good. He's just like using some like weird like steak seasoning that he found in the cabinet kind of thing. Just to like get by because like your mom bought pork chops and now he doesn't know what to do with them. Maybe that's just my experience. But
I feel similarly, but we would have them with applesauce. Pork chops and applesauce. And it's because you have to drown it in something like wet because it's so tough and dry because it is overcooked.
I am the queen of overcooking meat though, because I just the idea of making anybody sick with undercooked meat like wigs me out. So I fed my kids a lot of overcooked meat.
Yeah. I've finally figured out like one or two like pork chop recipes that like I can make that are actually decent. But I'm always going to pick chicken over pork chops, so.
Yeah, same. I'm going to go with the chicken with the kale and shallots. Also, when you watch the cooking shows, they pickle something really quick. My idea of pickling something is it is, like, sitting in that liquid for, like, months.
In someone's basement.
And it is, like, soft. But things can get pickled.
Yeah,
really
you can
quick.
Like
a quick pick.
Yeah, you can quickle. Do a quick pick. I think it's the fact if the water's like boiling or something like that. I think that's part of it that speeds up the process and everything like that. But also, I don't fucking know. That's a Henry question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one, last one for dessert. The milk chocolate semifreddo with Morello cherries and toasted cocoa nibs. Or the vegan pistachio sundae with roasted strawberries and dark chocolate figs. Or the raspberry beignets with vanilla bean dipping sauce.
I did not understand like half of the, like, I don't know what a semifreddo is.
I think a semifreddo might be almost like a pudding, I feel, but I have no idea.
This is one thing that I think that these like really fancy restaurants always kind of lose with me is like the really fancy desserts where it's like, a toasted almond sliver with like a no. I want something gluttonous and like kind of gross for my dessert. And that last one, a beignet, that's a fucking donut, right? I want the raspberry donut.
Give me the raspberry donut with the, what is it, vanilla bean dipping sauce? I'm slathering that and shoving it in my mouth,
letting it drip down my face. Definitely raspberry beignet for the sweep.
Slay. Love that. Well, these are all food items that we will probably never consume or afford.
No.
But I like to indulge in the fantasy. So thank you, Jen. Yeah. This has been a really fun chocolate or vanilla. It's making me like, I'm like, I could make a beef Wellington. No, I could not. Like simply, I could not. I could pickle some shallots for my chicken. Like, no, it would not be quite good. But Yeah, I can do a little quick pick. as always, thank you so much, and we will see you next week.
Okay, I love you guys. Have an awesome day.
Bye.
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 Besides the jarring haircut, you know what else was really jarring for me? Was the lobster animatronic that they had, like,
oh my God.
45 minutes into it.
Jump like,
you know
exactly
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yep. I wish that it had been a puppet.
That was probably...
Unexplained.
Yeah. Expensive thing in this movie.
It's like you know how in Everything Everywhere All at
you
Once
you could have just got a lobster. You guys could have just got lobsters.
Too expensive.
You know that those are real animals that you can buy.
Oh my God. I think I've been like around people who cooked a lobster, but I don't fuck with eating something that like has its head still on.
Not for me.
I don't know. I don't really fuck with lobster anyway. I'm more of a shrimp girly. I'm like, why would you pay more for lobster when shrimp is better and cheaper and just, like, less scary? I don't know.
True. No, I feel you. Like, I could never do, like, crawfish, how you have to rip the heads off and suck them out. I don't think I could ever do that.
Maybe if I was really in the vibe of, like, at a crawfish boil or whatever, when they, like, dump it on the table and shit. Like, if I was really...
I'd have to have, like, 3 beers in me at that point.
Yeah, if I was a little tipsy and the vibes were just demanding that I suck a crawfish, like, I could do it. Stone cold sober in my own kitchen? No. Never.
You know what else I couldn't do? Smoke a cigarette while I eat. That's one thing that, like, watching this movie, I was like, oh my God. Like, bro, no wonder the French used so much butter, because their taste buds were probably just burnt to a fucking crisp. Like, dude.
To just cut through those Newports. No, what a French people smoke, like, hand-rolled.
Bougie. Yeah, they hand roll it.
But that lobster animatronic is like, you know, in Everything Everywhere All at Once, how they like did the practical effect of the raccoon for like the raccoon-y scenes.
Of course.
They like used the same prop company for this lobster animatronic, I feel.
Yeah, well, which like in Everything Everywhere, it was supposed to be kind of hokey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they were really going for realism with that lobster.
Also, the way that, like, the pot was, like, jostling, I don't think that happens. I don't know enough to prove otherwise, but I don't think that the lobsters are, like, fighting for their life in there. I think they just kind of chill until they perish, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they also had the detail of, like, you can hear the... because lobsters scream when you boil them, and they added that in. You could hear their little shrieks.
Was that...
That's why you, like... put a knife through their fucking face.
Because they scream. What? I have never
lobster
heard of this.
Scream. Yeah.
There were a couple of moments during this movie that I actually found to be, like, genuinely very funny. And it makes me kind of want to... It makes me kind of want to go watch When Harry Met Sally, because that's another Nora Ephron. Like, it's, you know, same writer. And
Have you seen that movie? Please tell me you've seen it.
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Dara.
So I
that movie, see, that movie's amazing.
I'll have to give it a shot, because this is one that I thought I really liked the writing and the dialogue in this. It's usually something I have a lot of gripes with, but I did find a lot of the dialogue to be like quippy, but not like corny. Like some of it was corny, but like some of it I actually really did enjoy. And that's what I think is lacking in a lot of rom-coms for me, is that I find the dialogue to just be so like unbelievably like shit that I just can't even like invest myself in it. But this, I really, two moments that, like, actually, get, like, you know, I, like, exhaled hard out through my nose kind of laugh was when he was singing Psycho Killer, he was saying Lobster Killer. I thought that was really cute. Also, when her and her three rich friends go to their Cobb salad lunch and each of them orders a Cobb salad without one key ingredient, I'm like, that is, like, SNL level comedy gold. They did not harp on that for long enough. I thought that was so funny.
The one thing that I rocked with Julia for, or not Julia, Julie for, is
no
that she ordered it without the egg.
No eggs.
Hell yeah, she's right for that.
Yeah, I do think...
Dude, fuck a hard-boiled egg.
Last week, in Chocolate or Vanilla, we talked about the hard-boiled egg situation, and I've gotten so many TikToks about deviled egg supremacy, and I'm like, it's Maya sending these vibes through my TikTok algorithm to punish me for being a hard-boiled egg hater.
Yeah, my partner was like next to us listening to us do chocolate or vanilla, and we all like started ripping on hard-boiled eggs. They were just slack-jawed next to me.
That is not an uncommon opinion. I do not think it's a hot take to hate hard-boiled eggs. But
no, I don't think so either. But we'll have a showdown about it sometime this month as they join us for we're doing the menu.
Yeah, I don't think eggs come up in that one though.
I don't think so, but I have a feeling the egg situation will arise. I'm gonna pit you two against. And by that I mean I'm gonna pit you two against each other.
I'm ready to fight to the death for my opinion about hard-boiled eggs. I want to edit a photo of their face onto Emmett from Twilight when he's holding the bag of like eggs in the cafeteria. I'm like, that's you right now. That's how you fucking sound right now.
This is your call out post.
is there a chef who like loves hard boiled eggs? Because then that's gonna be the chef that blocks me at the end of my journey.
Good question. Couldn't say.
I don't know I don't think I'm knowledgeable enough to pick, like, if I had to cook all the way through a cookbook, like, who I would do, you know, like, which chef I would want to, like, cover to cover. I don't know if Alton Brown has any cookbooks, but I do really
I fucking love Alton Brown.
I really like how he does stuff that's super simple, but he explains to you, like, the science behind every decision that's made. That's Henry and I love Good Eats. Like, that they're like, we're gonna do an entire episode on, like, oil versus butter and what choice you should make in what situations. And, like, like that's really interesting to me. So I think something like that, because that could also be kind of cost-effective, too. Because, a cover-to-cover, like, you know, fancy cookbook, if you're gonna do, like, a, I don't know, some fancy chef, couldn't be me.
Yeah. I don't know who I would do, but I do have a cookbook. I have, oh, God, what's his name? Hold on.
Joshua Weissman? Let me go to my...
Yeah, I have his cookbook. I hate his personality as a creator, but I think that I just think he's a lot. I just hate the over-the-top, like, blah, 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 this is how you should be doing it. But, like, he does have really good recipes. Like, his ramen recipe is the one that I always go to. I do like his book. But other than that, I got a really great gift from a friend this Christmas, and it was just a recipe book just for potatoes.
Oh, I love
and
that.
It's gorgeous. I could do that.
I think I gave Henry Action Bronson's cookbook one year, which is
that sounds good.
It's like half cookbook and half like photos and half like him like telling story. Like it's like part memoir, part cookbook. I don't really know, but it's like a coffee table book more than an actual cookbook for anything. But I think the only other like recipe book I own is my uncle gave me a Mr. Boston handheld cocktail for all Mr. Boston. Like Mr. Boston is the lowest shelf vodka you can possibly buy, and he's like,
very Massachusetts.
He's like,
that was like the liquor that, like, if my friend's sister was pissing her off and asking her for, like, to buy her booze, she would show up with Mr. Boston.
Oh my god, yeah, it's the worst. But on my 21st birthday, he was like, I just have this lying around, do you want this? I'm like, yeah, this is iconic. Mr. Boston cocktail book, that's gonna be my cover to cover.
It's the Mr. Boston.
It's just, like, all tastes like gasoline. Rank.
Dude, it's... It's just rubbing alcohol.
But I think it's, like, funny that these past two movies we've chosen, we went from, like, the Twitter movie to the blog movie. Because last week we covered Chef, which is all about, like, how this 9-year-old, like, harnesses the power of Twitter to promote Jon Favreau's culturally insensitive food truck.
Oh my god.
And this, I mean... That's an overstatement, but this movie also, I think, is, like, sort of the, like, dramatization of, like, early 2000s blogging, because I'm, like, I do not believe that a soul would have been reading her shit. I'm, like, I'm sorry, you signed up on, like, blogspot.com. It was, like, julieandjulia.blogspot.com fully, and the fact that she, like, was really popping off at the end, I'm, like, I just don't believe that without any prior like exposure as a writer, because her whole thing was, she was like, I wrote a book, I wrote half a novel, mm-hmm. but no one would publish it. And I don't really know mm-hmm. how that shit works, but I'm pretty sure you have to finish your book before you ask people to publish it. Like, mm-hmm. unless you have already written books, you know, then you get like backed by like a fucking agent or whatever. But if it's your mm-hmm. first book, you don't like send half a book to a publisher. Obviously they're going to be like, no, like,
are you crazy?
But yeah, I don't know. The blog of it all really set the 2002 timestamp for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, one of my favorite parts about this movie, though, was that it's right at the end where Julia gets the letter from the publisher saying like we want to publish your book and everything like that. That's the scene that makes me fucking cry every time. Like, her just celebrating with Paul, and she's just towering over him, and they're both screaming. It's so fucking cute and it's so fucking sweet. And like, for me, one of the things that I love too is the soundtrack that this movie is set to. I think it's outstanding. It's Alexander Desplat, who does, like,
yep.
all of the stuff for Wes Anderson. He did, like, a handful of the Harry Potters, Little Women, like, Twilight. Twilight! Anything and everything.
I didn't know he did Twilight. Yeah, he did New Moon. I love that.
Yeah, he is an outstanding composer, and I love a lot of his stuff, so... Once I heard that come on, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I remember exactly... One of the reasons that I love this movie. Yeah, no, he's got a fat...
and the range, catalog. Too. Like, between, like, from Wes Anderson to Twilight to this movie, like, that is you're covering your bases,
oh,
sir.
Yeah, The Shape of Water. Like, he's the one that did Grand Budapest Hotel, which is one of my favorite soundtracks. You know, it's just amazing. But yeah, that's one of those things, like, definitely that detail also makes me a little nostalgic with this movie, because I love a good soundtrack, dude. I know you're the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I haven't, like, there's also something to be said about, like, I don't think I thought too much about it, which is also a good thing, you mm-hmm. know, like, it was never, like, distracting or I don't know, but also mm-hmm. I do think the tonal shifts between the Julia and the Julia scenes was... Like, I picked up on, you know, it's, like, you know, for time period shift, I appreciated that. But I wish that Julie's husband, so, like, okay, she is full-on hyperfixating, because not only is she, like...
She wears the pearls 24/7.
Yeah, she's not just cooking through the cookbook, but she's making it her entire life. She's making it everyone else's. It's all she ever talks about. It's all they ever watch on TV. Everything he says, she finds a way to relate it back to Julia Child, which is so, like, when your friend is going through a really deep hyperfixation and you're trying to be supportive, but you're like, I cannot hear about, you know, this... anymore. Like, there's nothing more for me to extract out of this, but you're, you know, trying to be a good friend, which I guess the Julia Child hyperfixation, I guess you get to eat a lot of bomb food out of it, which is good. Mm-hmm. But, like, her literally cosplaying around the house as Julia Child, I'd be like, we need to do, like, an identity check.
Too much.
We need to check back in with reality for a little bit.
A wellness check. We're doing a wellness check with Julie.
Because when they get in, rarely am I ever on the side of the man, but when they get in their little tiss, their little fight, I kind of agreed with him. I'm like, she needs to fucking chill out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, he's entirely right.
But the way that she's, like, cosplaying with the pearls, I wish he, like, got in on the hyperfixation and got really into Paul, and he got a little matching turquoise ring. That little middle finger turquoise ring that Stanley Tucci wears was so hot for no reason.
So,
like,
sexy.
I wish Julie's husband was like, I'm also gonna cosplay as Stanley Tucci. Mm-hmm.
I would have died. My favorite thing is that out of this entire movie, Stanley Tucci is the closest person to Julia Child. Because, I mean, do you watch his TikToks or anything like that? He cooks. He has his own cooking show. Gorgeous. I just love him. I love Stanley Tucci so much. I would do anything for him.
I also, like, I don't think any, like, cis straight men who are like problematic in this way listen to this podcast. So I don't really think that this is a hot tip for anyone listening. But I always like think about like certain male celebrities who a lot of women like lust over that a lot of like straight men just aren't aware of, because like I feel like guys who are in the mindset of like girls only want guys who look like, you know, Chris Hemsworth, and I, you know what, I'm like, do you know how many women are lusting after Stanley Tucci? Like, it does not take a six pack, and he's literally like a short bald man, like, mm-hmm. and he's so incredibly hot, and so many women would do anything to fuck him. Like, you need to realize, like, men need to realize that it's about the pinky ring, you know, it's about the turquoise mm-hmm. pinky ring. And the, mm-hmm. it's about chopping an onion really fast, you know? This is mm-hmm. the Jon Favreau last week, Stanley Tucci this week. You do not need to be conventionally... I mean, I think they are both somewhat conventionally handsome or attractive or whatever. But, like, you do not need to be super...
Jon Favreau?
I mean, he's not, like, an ugly man. He's, like, fine-looking. He's, like, fine.
I think I'm too gay for that. Yeah. But, sure.
But I'm just like, men out there just need to realize that, like, if you just wear a pinky ring and cut an onion really fast, like, that's how you get pussy. Oh my god, do you know that TikTok of the guy who flips the grilled cheese and he lands it on the side and he goes, still no bitches? he lands the grilled cheese like on the crust so it's standing upright.
No,
he's like, still no bitches. I'm like, oh, see, that's the kind of skill that does get you bitches. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, every man out there needs to realize that, like, women are attracted to Stanley Tucci, so it's, like, your personality is the problem. It's not because you're mm-hmm. not ripped enough. Like, it's because your personality is the problem.
Mm-hmm. It's because you can't cook anything except for bland chicken and rice and broccoli.
Oh my god. Call out the food prep bros. They're, like, meal prep, but it all just, like, looks bad. mm-hmm. I hate meal prep TikTok. Don't even get me started. I hate that shit.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I will meal prep because, like, sometimes I need to, but I'm not doing that. I'm not.
It's
I'm
not
making
for
myself
the,
that pasta still.
It's not for the aesthetics either. Like,
here's the thing is, I will meal prep because I would rather kill myself than put myself to work in the way that Julie does after I just worked 8 hours.
Oh my god. That's the other thing.
Two meals, like, every other day, basically. I would spiral so fast.
And these are time
consuming
recipes.
When do I get to have time to, like, lay on the floor? Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't.
Well, you do that after you drop your cream cheese stuffed chicken, like, all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, these are also time consuming recipes. She's making, like, beef stew that takes 6 hours. Like, what? Could it be me?
Could not. No. I'll be making the grilled cheese and landing on it on the side. Thank you.
Yeah. But I really do think it would have been more realistic, because I don't know. Is that true that she did the whole thing in a year? Like, or did she? Because she should have one a day, sis. Because some of them are, like, baking, too. Yeah, imagine coming home after a long shift and having to bake a cake. No.
Nope. No. No, not me. I can't do it. I could not do it to save my life. I would maybe make it through a month of this.
Something
that that probably just says something about me, but
yeah.
Still.
I know. She's like, I quit everything. And I'm like, you can still finish it. You just don't have to do it in a year. Like, you can still be in a, you can, you're allowed to set reasonable goals and then, like, reevaluate the realism of those goals as you approach your deadlines. Like, it's okay mm-hmm. to, like, say you're going to do something and then, like, realize that, like, for your own mental health, for the sanctity of your marriage, like, fucking take a chill pill. That's like, yeah, that's like part of, like, the, you know, the hyperfixation. Like, I have to do this before the deadline. Like, no, you don't, girl. But I guess she's also, like, my readers. And there's one point where I was like, oh my god, is this how I sound when
this
I talk about my podcast? Like, literally her being like, my readers are gonna be so upset if I don't post this week. It's like us, like, being
that's
like, let's
literally
skip a week. And it's like, nobody cares.
That's us when we, like, upload on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday.
Like, nobody, like, noticed. But in my head, I'm like, the six listeners from Ohio, they're gonna
be
so upset.
Oh my god, we haven't posted Chocolate or Vanilla.
But when her husband's like, yeah, I bet they're gonna kill themselves. I was like, oh my god. But yeah, her talking about, like, she's like, my fans. She's like, I don't even realize that I even have them. And they're, like, sending her fan mail. She's, like, getting hot sauce in the mail. She's like, I didn't even realize people read this. I'm like, you have to have had like some sort of analytics on your blog, right? Like you can see page views.
It was 2002.
Views.
They didn't have that anymore at that point.
I think they did, because I feel like I had...
Probably.
Not in 2002, because I was a toddler, but I feel like I had, like, a DIY Blogspot blog, and you definitely could see, like, page views on the, like...
I'm sure.
The dashboard. Yeah. But the thing about this movie that I did like, as far as, like... Because it's a pretty cut and dry story. It's no twists and turns. It's pretty basic. Like, there's nothing that
really...
Nothing
crazy.
Nothing too surprising. But something that I really did enjoy was that at the very end... She, like, gets a call that Julia Child does not like her blog. that she, like, she didn't say that she hated it, but she used some, you know, we don't get the actual, like, verbatim quote, but she is basically told from this reporter, like, that Julia Child does not care for it, and she's like, would you like to comment? And I thought that this was gonna, because this is towards the end of the movie, and I'm like, oh my god, are we opening up a new storyline of, like, now she's gonna go have to find Julia Child and confront Julia Child, and, you know, it's a whole, like, don't meet your heroes thing, like, but she just sort of, like, has a breakdown of it, and then immediately just goes back to being obsessed with Julia Child, and the whole thing never, like, resolves, and I'm like, I like that this movie ended with the audience under the impression that Julia Child did not fuck with this bitch.
Which, I mean, this movie definitely dramatized it a little bit, because I looked into this, and I think what Julia Child said was, like, she just kind of was like, I don't think she's that good of a cook, basically, because I'm sure throughout the blogs, I think she had made some criticisms of the cookbook and everything like that, and Julia Child was like, I worked my ass off for this for 8 years. And the fact that she has a problem with some of these recipes says more about her than it does about me. Don't think she's a very good cook. And that's basically what it was.
I like that. Did it ever, like, come about that... Because I know it's 2002, but did she ever post pictures of the shit that she was cooking? Because I'm like, how do you do a food blog and you're not actually document... She's, like, not actually documenting the shit that she makes. Like, she just went on there and was like, cooked a beef bouffe bourguignon today. Burnt it, LOL, TTYL, XOXO, Julie.
Gossip girl.
Right? Like, but I'm like, if you're doing a food blog, I feel like 90% of the intrigue is the visual.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'm like, did she just, was it literally just words? Because that fucking sucks. Who wants to read that? Like, I'm sorry, not but that me. Sounds so boring. Mm-hmm. But I did like, I liked that, like, we sort of ended on that discordant note between the two of them that, like, they never you told me that they never actually met in real life, but sort of like the closest they ever did come to, like, interacting was her just being like But the thing that, like, also got me is the end scene when they go to the Smithsonian and they, like, go see her kitchen, which I thought was a really, like, a beautiful shot, and then it, like, you know, transitions into the real kitchen, like, very cute, whatever, but she fucking leaves a pound of butter just by, like, the guest book. She has, like, okay, first of all, you're in Washington, D.C., right? So let's assume that the Smithsonian's in D.C., right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's assume that you are, like, so you're traveling because you don't live there. You went to a store, bought the butter, put it in your purse, like, went through museum security, like, traveled to the museum. That, there's no way that butter is anything but, like, soggy, like, soft.
Oh, yeah.
Room temp. Yeah. And you whip that shit out of your little purse and leave it in a public space for some poor museum employee to have to clean up, like, this melted, rank butter. Oh my god, imagine nobody notices and it just, like, starts to fester. I know you're, like, doing a little cute, like, moment between, like, you and your idol, but don't fucking leave food in public spaces like that. Like, that was so, that was so rude. I was like, I could not believe her. I could not believe
her. Out of all the unbearable shit you did in this movie, you really ended it like that, huh?
Left, and that's, butter's expensive too.
Yeah.
Just a pound of butter. Rotted.
Yeah, no. Rotted.
I've been to the outside, I don't think you can go in, but Julia Child's house in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I've been to it. I've walked by.
Oh, really?
It. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
was it lovely?
It's just a house. It just has, like, a plaque that says, like, historical landmark, Julia Child's house. It's nothing really special,
cute. Yeah. Is it like a museum?
I don't know.
Live there now.
I don't know. I don't think you can go in, but I think there's just like a plaque on the outside, like on the sidewalk, that just says like, "Hey,
so
look."
It's just a house that's unoccupied.
I bet somebody lives in it. I don't know. Maybe, or I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting.
I'd have to look into it.
Yeah. But do we want to get into our regularly scheduled programming?
Yes.
Okay. Fuck, marry, kill. Obviously, we have a main four.
So do we want to add marry, fight?
Kill, fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fight Julie. She's pissing me off. I'm fighting her.
Like, I don't even want to kill her. Like,
I want to fight her.
I want to fight. I want to fight with the end goal of kill.
But I guess then if... this is tough because they are all like, you know, they're all good marriage material people, but I'm gonna kill her husband. I forget his name, but whatever. Brad. I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna marry Stanley Tucci, and I'm gonna fuck Julia Child. She's gonna make
Dude,
me
I bet
like
Julia Child was a freak in the sheets,
right? And she's gonna make me a little snack after. It's gonna be really cute.
I bet she's gonna big spoon the hell out of me, ugh, and then we're gonna have the craziest meal of our lives.
Just like a post sex, like, what is it, Coco Vin? Like chicken, yeah. Like wine. She just whips it out. She has it in the bedside table. Like, she had it like on a warming plate, ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I entirely agree with you there. Cause, like, I don't want to have to kill her husband, but like, I will.
Yeah, this one.
He doesn't do that much for me. Stanley Tucci is the ultimate supportive husband.
Right, but I feel like this one, you could almost just, like, roulette wheel it, and whatever you end up with, it's like, yeah, you know, like, some situations are better than others, but, like, I would fuck any of them, they're all hot, you know, I'd probably-
You'd fuck Julie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Amy Adams, she her character
it's
is not
for
me, but-
me.
Yeah, see, I like it.
It's the hair and having to take off- the tights underneath, tights underneath the wacky skirt, and then the button up and like taking her pearls off.
Taking her pearls off. We can incorporate those. We can find a way to incorporate those.
Like Julia, like pearls stay on while we're fucking.
Julie, no cut unless, oh my god, she wants to do role play. She wants to like read the historic letters about like Paul and Julia's sex life, and she wants to like reenact them, and she wants me to be Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, because I want to marry the Tucci.
Yeah,
and obviously, yeah. But here's the thing: is if I'm having a post sex meal, this is what's, and mind you, this is my recommendation for if you watch this movie. This is what you're serving.
Oh, okay. Rolling into the next segment.
Yeah, rolling in. This is what I want post-sex. This is what I want while I watch this movie. Just a nice, homey, party French onion soup.
Ugh, I love.
Because, I mean, like, any of the shit, like, I'm not ripping from the movie. I'm not making bouffe bourguignon. I'm not making coq au vin. Like, I'm not poaching an egg. I want something that's going to be hearty and warm and just cozy. The same way that Julia Child is. And for me, that's a French onion soup and a bottle of red wine.
I love that. That's also, like, it's difficult enough to cook that you do feel accomplished, but it's not, like, undoable, you know?
Not
like,
crazy.
Like, it's just attainable, but you're gonna have to, like, read a recipe, like, maybe twice. But, yeah. Like, you'll get it, you know? Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to chop a bunch of onions really fast.
Exactly.
I also agree that, like, ripping something straight from this movie is a little, like, contrived and also unrealistic. Don't make a beef stew. Boof. Catch me out here calling beef boof for the rest of my life. Like, yeah, I'll have the boof. But, like, yeah, don't make a stew that takes 3 hours. Like, don't do that to yourself. Don't bone a duck. Whatever that means.
Here's what you don't want to do is be Julie. You don't want to be Julie in this.
Yeah,
you want to be Julia.
You don't want to be doing the most. But I also said it would be kind of funny to just eat something, like, that takes no time or effort. So, like, a boxed mac and cheese. Like, like, a ramen, an instant ramen. Like, something that it has zero heart, zero complexity, zero skill required, but, like, it's still delicious. Like, an Annie's white cheddar mac. Like, just rock that. And then, like, they're always drinking shit out of, like, gimlet glasses. and martini glasses. Like in both scenarios, like both generations are always drinking shit from fucking martini glasses. I'm like, have your Diet Coke, like have your normal whatever you usually drink, like nothing special, but just drink it out of a martini glass with and serve your Annie's Mac on like the nicest china you have, which for me is still just like from Target. But
I think cut up a hot dog and put it in the mac and cheese.
I'm more of a spam girly, but sure, whatever. Ooh. whatever floats your boat. But then so okay. that's like me being an asshole. But then my other like more conceptual thing was that you do like a social media, like an up, this is sort of like an updated version of what it's a one-off updated version of her cooking through the cookbook. And that's, you just go to your social media, and if you're the kind of person who follows a lot of like cooking accounts, you'll eventually just scroll and hit something. But if you want to like put in a hashtag to find something, but you just do a roulette, make the first recipe that comes up on your feed. No questions. No, you know, you have to do it, you know? So, or I guess it could be easier. You just go to the New York Times cooking Instagram, scroll, tap, you know, sort of, and whatever you click on, you got to commit to it.
I like that.
Yeah. I think that could be like a fun, cause it could be a challenge, but also, you know, interesting, fun. I don't know. I was brainstorming. And then, cause I don't do that per se, but I do like save a lot of recipes from online.
Same.
To make later, which is like I think our you know generation, the modern day cookbook is now just like TikTok.
You should see how many I have like a folder in my TikTok for all of the recipes that I've saved.
But so what movie are you following this up with?
So I like that you brought up When Harry Met Sally. I think that is a really good follow up because it is still What's her name? Nora
Ephron.
Yeah. I think it's the better movie. I think it's an amazing movie. And it's not quite the same. But if you were very much involved in the, I don't know, the sort of this style of movie, and you want to go from this to basically the same movie, and also starring Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci, you rewind 4 years, you go watch The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, that is exactly what I was going to say. I, you know, my soft recommend would be you do the other Amy Adams Meryl Streep movie, and you watch Doubt, which is like kind of a hard pivot because it's way more serious. Yeah, way. Mm. But truly, there is no other answer other than watching The Devil Wears Prada. This whole time, I was like,
it's the better movie.
I want to pivot and watch The Devil Wears Prada right now is all I thought during this whole movie. Yep.
Again, a girl getting way too involved in the work that she's doing.
Yep.
Her boyfriend starts to not support her.
Yep.
She's obsessed with Meryl Streep.
Yep.
And Stanley Tucci is the best character.
Yeah, so. Right. Exactly. And it's also like Meryl Streep on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like she's here being this, I don't want to say like bumbling or homely, but just like a very like, you know,
the most like comforting,
soft, force you warm, could ever loving imagine. To like bitch, like cunt.
Stone cold.
Opposite ends of the spectrum. And then I guess Stanley Tucci a little less so, but like from supporting husband to gay coworker. That's a little bit of a, you know, whatever. But yeah, there is no other answer other than The Devil Wears Prada for this. Prada. Yeah, easily. For sure.
Easily. And what are you going to rate this movie? I'm going to give it a 5 because I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. I like it because I like the Julia aspect of it, and I think that part of the movie is really great. But again, like I've gone over for this entire episode, Julia I could really live without the 2002 of it. I don't really care. I just want the Julia Child biopic.
Yeah, for sure. I also agree. Solid 5. We are on the same page today. Yeah, it was fine. It exceeded my expectations, but my expectations were very low. So
yeah, fair.
And that was our second installment of Menu March. Obviously, we will be doing the menu at some point, but I also will post on our Instagram a little poll for some write-ins, because we still are not, like, married to any particular schedule this month. So anything that you guys think of, and it doesn't need to be, like, a food-centric movie like we've done. If there's just a movie with one scene where people eat that you think is, like, amazing, like, it just has to, you know, we play fast and loose on this podcast with our, our theme connections. So it's, like, in Twilight, how she's shaking the ketchup bottle so ridiculously. Like, we've already covered Twilight, so if that was going to be what you were going to say, rewind back, you know, 100 episodes or so, and you can find that. But yeah, any food movie, I'll put a little poll on our Instagram, but if you missed that, feel free to DM us, as well as any other movie suggestions, non-theme adjacent, just anything you think would be, you know, fun to hear us talk about, or month themes, chocolate or vanilla themes, anything, merch ideas. We recently had a really great listener comment a merch idea, and it was to do the swamp in the Reese's font after the Jesus camp, like, reference. And I mean, it's a reference of a reference, so if you just want to think of it as the Reese's peanut butter cup font, like, that's layer one. But then, like, if you've seen Jesus camp, that's layer two. If you want to check that out, the link to that is in our bio. We have I think I made wine glasses pretty recently, just like, so we have some, like, silly and stupid merch if you want to check it out. All the links to all of our other doodad shenanigan social media pages, whatnot, are in the description below. Also, our personal Letterboxd accounts. I never really promo that, but I put them down there every week. If you use Letterboxd, feel free. I'll probably follow you back. Like, I don't really...
I always follow back on Letterboxd.
Just because I think that shit is so fun. That is down there as well. And we love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And bon appetit. Goodbye and good night.